is the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Ops Pizza, Cunningham Jewelers, and by Mr. Shuck Seafood. And now, here's your host, Michael Spears.
Welcome to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron. Jason Bishop filling in this week. Coach, a game against Brunswick, home game. The Pirates come down to take on your Camden County Wildcats in what ended up being a really good game, kind of as advertised. Fall a little short, 21-17. Talk to me a little bit about your team's effort, Coach.
Well, you know, it was a kind of a strange night, I guess. You know, we had the lightning delay there at the beginning, but you know, we came out and we just did not play well in the first half in any area, and that's very frustrating. And you know, as I told someone earlier, you know, if you don't play well on defense, well, you can blame them, or you know don't play well on offense, you can blame them. But when you play poorly in all three phases of the game, then that's my fault. And I've got to find a way to get that right. We have started slow in our scrimmage and our first two games. And so we've got to figure that out, and we're working on it, and got to come up with a little bit better way of starting the game, I guess, because it's been frustrating that we're having to play behind. You know, when we're turning into a decent comeback team, we're turning into a decent second half team, but that's not the way it's supposed to work. So we got to get that fixed.
Coach, you fall behind early, 14-0. The Pirates put two quick touchdowns up on the board, and then you get a huge kickoff return. I believe it was Jamarley that returned it, correct me if I'm wrong. Talk about the impact of that kick return.
Well, it was a great play. You know, we needed it, certainly, and I felt like, you know, it kind of stopped their momentum and gave us a chance. But the truth is, Jason, we didn't do anything right on the kickoff return. You know, Marley made a great play, superhuman almost type return, but he had also dropped a kick, you know, and was fumbling it around down there, and they got excited, got out of their lanes. But we didn't block a soul, and you know, it was just kind of an indication of our half. You know, we didn't do anything right, and you know, I knew it live, and I certainly, you know, saw it on film. It vindicated what I thought, but you know, I don't have an explanation for it. You know, we're working on it. I'll put it that way. We're a work in progress. But, you know, I asked the kids on Sunday when we met, I said, listen, if you started last year, you know, if you started against Valdosta and Lowndes, Colquitt, you know, stand up. You know, and we had 10 guys stand up. One of them's hurt, can't play. Two of them, the other one was a kicker, one was a punter. So seven position players that what I used to describe, they went through the fire last year. The rest of our team has not been in that fire. Mm. And, you know, one of the other coaches said, gosh, I just never really looked at it like that. But we spend a lot of time talking about, you know, how when you've been through the fire, you're able to handle the next fire a little bit better. And we talked about the ones that have been there have got to do a better job, you know, leading the ones that have not. But we just didn't handle it well. You know, the moment, the atmosphere, the big crowd, you know, we just didn't handle it well. And, you know, who's to say, had we scored first, you know, maybe Brunswick wouldn't have handled it well. But we didn't. And, you know, Brunswick's always been a team that, you know, they feed off momentum and they play better when things are going well. And we couldn't have done anything more to make it go better. You know, I can't imagine we could have done anything else to make them feel good about themselves, and we did in the first half. And again, it was frustrating then. It's still frustrating, but we got to get it behind us and start getting ready for Glenn.
So at one point, they got up on our Wildcats 21-7, and we were able to get a touchdown there. To get it to 21-14, talk a little bit about the events leading to the touchdown, Coach.
Well, we kind of, you know, settled down a little bit offensively, and, you know, we were starting a young kid at halfback, hadn't started yet, and he made a really good run, got us to 21-14. But, you know, even then, you know, it wasn't the greatest drive in the world, but we got the ball. We got – you know, we got in a 2-minute situation with a chance to tie it up, and you know, got down, I think, inside the 15 maybe, you know, and got called for holding, and then we got another first down, and wound up getting a procedure penalty. Then I got a sideline warning penalty, and then we got another procedure penalty. So it backed us up 15 yards, and then we kicked a field goal and missed it. You know, so that was just, you know, as I told our kids at halftime, that kind of, that last drive kind of summed up the first half. You know, we get 3 penalties in a row and miss a field goal. You know, and you can't win games like that. So I told them at halftime, I said, you know, the bad news is, you know, we're behind. I said, the good news is we're behind 1 score and we can't possibly play any worse than we played in the first half. And we did play better in the second half. We just still made some critical mistakes at critical times.
Coach, you talked about the penalties right there before the end of the first half, missing the field goal. The 2-minute offense, I want to talk to you about that. How do you think that your kids and coaching staff and you know, those 2-minute situations before the half and then at the end of the game. Talk a little bit about that.
We were terrible. I mean, we were terrible in it. We handled it poorly from a coaching standpoint, from a player standpoint. We just didn't handle it well. And, you know, I'm not making excuses, but we've practiced it. But we've practiced it in the gym because we've had more practices in the gym than we've had outside this month. And we haven't really had an opportunity to work on it in a pressure live situation, and it showed. You know, we missed another field goal. You know, you can't kick field goals when you're in the gym, you know, so we've not had as much, you know, ability to practice that. And, you know, again, another game where we didn't tackle well. You know, we didn't defend some deep passes and things very well, but again, those are things you can't get good at in the gym. And we've got to get a little more consistent, hopefully, in being able to practice outside and in pads where we can, you know, get better at tackling, get better in a 2-minute situation, get better at executing field goals. And, you know, I'm not making excuses. I mean, you got to find a way to do it. You, no matter what, you got to find a way to do it. But we did not perform well in the 2-minute. But, you know, I go back through my entire career. You know, first time you had to do it, I don't think you ever perform well. You know, it's something you gotta have that heat on you before you realize, okay, this is how we're supposed to handle it. You know, it's hard to simulate that in practice. But no, it was very disappointing that we didn't give ourselves a better chance there. You know, again, the one in the first half, we executed it pretty good. We got ourselves in the field goal range.
It's downloaded my audio, but it's not letting me download his. And it's, I don't know what's caused this. I don't know.
Yes, where I did that one with Kevin Price, it was still on there. Someone did not mess you up.
No, just pick right back up.
I don't remember where I was at. First half, 2 minutes.
Yeah, the 2-minute stuff.
But, you know, in the first half, we got ourselves in a position to kick a field goal and maybe to tie it up if we didn't get those penalties. But, you know, we were in a position to kick a field goal, get a little bit of momentum. And, you know, again, if you can do that in the first half in 2 minutes, that's a pretty good thing. But we missed the field goal. It was like we were at a funeral at halftime. You know, the kids knew it. We had not played well. We certainly, I think, we were all disappointed at where we were at, and, you know, we expected to do better. So, you know, our challenge now is to learn from that and be better in those areas this week.
We'll be right back on the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Bo Sasser with Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, calling a timeout for an important message. When it comes to sports injuries, our highly trained experts have years of experience treating all kinds of sports-related injuries. Plus, we have access to all the resources at Southeast Georgia Health System. So, if you suffer an injury, on the field or off, let us get you back to your game.
call 1-855-ASK-SGHS. That's 1-855-275-7447 or visit sghs.org. Here at Cunningham Jewelers, we are like you and we are Friday Night Light fans. Come find that special gift for that special person no matter your budget. At Cunningham Jewelers, we don't settle for the field goal. We help you punch it in for the touchdown. So come on down to Cunningham Jewelers and let our friendly staff help you go for two. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652 or online, cunninghamjewelers.com. Welcome back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop sitting in for Mike Spears. Coach, so we talked about, you know, heading into halftime and the two-minute stuff. One thing that I noticed the first couple of games is, you know, Parks Riendu is getting on the field some. Talk about playing two quarterbacks and, you know, kind of saw the offense got some spark when Parks came in. Mason Robinson, how he played, and, you know, just address your quarterback situation.
Well, we still think we can win with either one of them. You know, it's they both have things that they do well. What's going on now? I'm out of drinks. I've got some kind of drainage going, but I remember this question, so I'll get it. But, you know, we feel good about either quarterback still. You know, both of them do some good things. Parks did come in the other night and played very well. But then when it was time in the fourth quarter, I put Mason back in because I felt like he would handle that better. He's more experienced. But we will continue to play them both. I've told them it's an open competition every day, like anything else on our team. And we want to play Mason some on defense as well because, you know, that's his future. He's being recruited by all these schools as a defensive back. Because he's long, he can run, he's very intelligent. He needs to play defense some. We need to keep playing Parks some. But, you know, there Parks got hit once, the hair knocked out of him. And so, you know, Mason had to go right back in. So we need them both. We have to have them both to be successful and to win. But the one that performs the best in practice will be the one that goes first Friday night. Just as it should be.
Coach, you come away with a 21-17 loss to the Pirates. After the game, what type of conversation did you have with your team in the locker room?
I did not say much to them after the game other than, you know, I was pleased with the way they fought in the second half. I was disappointed the way we played in the first half. And I said, you know, We'll talk on Sunday, you know, when we come back to watch film. And I didn't even talk to my wife after the game. Jason, I, you know, told her, you know, I'll see you. And, you know, again, I just – that one hurt. I ain't gonna lie. That one hurt. And was frustrated because, again, as I said at the very beginning, when you don't play well in any area, that's my fault. And I've got to get a handle on this group and what motivates this group. You know, it's a different group. I mean, everything's different. And I've got to find a way to reach them better. And so, you know, I was really disappointed with them. Now, you know, when we got back here on Sunday and, you know, we didn't just ignore the film. We showed it to them and said, okay, these are things we have to get better at. And they responded well. And, you know, then I told them, I said, we got to flush this one. We got to let it go, as they say, Elsa says, and whatever that movie my grandkids always watch, the Frozen, I guess, got to let it go, because we can't let what happened last Friday affect us this Friday.
As you mentioned, different group. Have you had the thought process, though? I know I have. The thought process that last year's group – went up to Glenn County Stadium, played those Pirates, same Pirates, had a tough fought game and came up a little bit short, and that seemed to flip the switch for last year's group. Has that creeped into the mentality at all with your coaching staff with this group?
Well, we certainly hope it does. I mean, you know, you you hope you always learn when you're from a loss. I mean, you know, nothing good about losing, except, you know, sometimes it opens your eyes to some of the issues that you have that you don't see when you're winning. But I know it needs to. Glenn's better this year, you know, and we've got to get that switch flipped again, I guess you'd say. And, you know, again, we've got a lot of kids that have not been in the fire, and they didn't play well. Now they've been in one fire, so hopefully the next time they'll play a little bit better, and you keep building on that. But, you know, the kids that played last year against Valdosta, the kids that played against Lowndes, kids that played against Colquitt, you know, they're playing pretty well. You know, they're doing things right. They're not panicking. And then we got another group of kids, you know, some of them new, some of them didn't start last year, that type, that, you know, I thought the other night there were times the moment was just a little bit too big for them. And, again, it happens. You know, that's a part of the football maturing process. You just hope that we can get all that out of our system by the time we get to the region.
More to come on the Jeff Herring Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
The best low country boil in Southeast Georgia? Mr. Shuck Seafood. Also a dining room, full bar, and a full seafood market available. Fresh shrimp and live crabs. They were just swimming yesterday. Mr. Shuck Seafood, 107 Altama in Brunswick, right beside Van Vaden. Takeout available, 912-265-5959. Be sure to find us on Facebook. 13 years of serving folks just like you, and we're proud to say, let's go Wildcats.
Looking for the perfect place to watch the big game? Then check out Ops off of Exit 3 on I-95. Jumbo big screen HD TVs, 300-inch projector, and the most IPAs in Southeast Georgia. Not to mention the top craft beer selection anywhere in the Camden area. An extensive menu that includes pizza to burgers to wings. 1378 Boone Avenue in Kingsland. Just look for the Big Ops star sign or call ahead 912-576-6880. Ops, your one and only true sports bar stop.
Welcome back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Herring on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, you mentioned Glenn last segment, the Red Terrors. Last year came down to Chris Gilman Stadium, and I believe we went up there, didn't we?
Yeah, it was here.
It was here? Okay. Well, last year the Red Terrors came down, and like I said earlier, after the Brunswick game last year, seemed to have a flip switch with last year's team, and they made a statement in the Glenn game last year. This year you head up to Glenn County Stadium to take on those Red Terrors. And again, you mentioned they are a little better than last year. I'm sure you've seen film and watched tape. What do you see?
Well, I definitely think they're improved. I think Coach Hidalgo does a great job. They've got a good offensive scheme. You know, they're featuring the Peacock kid a little bit more. He's very talented. They've got a great receiver that's, you know, a big-time prospect. And then they're always good on defense. They do a good job in their kicking game. You got Rocky over there, so you never know what you might get. He may throw something new at you or have a trick play up his sleeve or something. So we got our hands full. And, you know, if we play like we did against Brunswick the other night, we're going to get beat. If we learn from that and we handle the fire a little bit better and play a little bit better this week, you know, then we got a chance. So, right now, who we play is not as important as how we play. And we've got to get that part fixed.
And heading into, such a, kind of a rivalry game with the Red Terrors, you also have this thing that's going on in the background with the hurricane that's coming. Talk about how that's impacted your kids and your week and your practice and your preparation.
It's not easy. as a head coach, you're always concerned when the week isn't normal. Well, we were already going to be out of school on Friday, which is not normal. And, you know, that was a concern. Now we're going to be out of school Wednesday and Friday for sure. We hope Thursday will be a fairly normal day. So, it is affecting how we practice again. And as I mentioned at the beginning, you know, one of the things we need desperately is to get to where we're consistently practicing like we're supposed to and outside and in pads and all those things. But it's made this week hard to do that again. But, you know, it's making it hard for Glenn, too. So we won't use it as an excuse. We just got to find a way. no matter what happens with the weather. And, you know, I look at it through football tinted glasses. You know, my focus is on practice, getting ready for the game, doing all that. But, you know, there's a lot of people in our area that may be affected by this hurricane and, you know, may have some damage and things like that from the wind and rain. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with them. But as a football coach, mm-hmm. I'm trying to get us ready and trying to make sure we can be the best we can be on Friday. And I'm sure Rocky's doing the same thing.
What are some things that you'll need to do well as a football team to be able to beat Glenn? You know, you mentioned you just don't ever know with Rocky because, you know, one week he'll run a veer, and the next week he'll come back in a spread offense. So it's tough to gauge. But what do you think you need to do as a football team to be able to beat the Red Terriers?
Well, you know, pretty much everything, you know, pretty much everything. We've got to continue to get better at tackle. We haven't done that well. We got to get to where we can throw the ball with some consistency and success. We have not done that well. You know, and we've got to be able to not get our butts whipped up on the line of scrimmage. I felt like that happened the other night a little bit. So there's a lot of things, you know. We got to get better in the kicking game. You know, you can't miss field goals. You know, you can't have bad punts. You can't not cover kickoffs well. All those things are important every week. So we just got to get better. I mean, common sense, you know, we have to play like we're capable of playing instead of the way we played last week.
Coach, I feel like, again, I don't want to draw comparisons, but, you know, we did have a really good season last year. And I feel like that last year, every week that went by, that team made strides to getting better. Some big leaps, some small steps, but every week I felt like that team got better. And then by the time we got to the playoffs, I felt like we were a really dangerous team. Is this the type of team that you think this year's squad, you can kind of see the same thing happening week to week, getting better, 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 and then with the talent you have on the field with this team, that if they do play their potential by the end of the year, that our Wildcats are going to be pretty dangerous come playoff time?
Well, that's what's supposed to happen, no question, you know, and that's what you're hoping as a coaching staff, that each week your kids get better and all that, you know. But right now, one of the things, we had some kids last year that were excellent leaders, and they really kind of controlled practice and controlled games in terms of our mental toughness and, you know, holding each other accountable and stuff. We got to get better at that, too. You know, again, I think we have the guys that can do it, you know, but I think they may still be looking around waiting on one of them guys from last year to do it, you know, and they've got to realize that now it's my time. And you know, you can only be so successful if you're a coach-led team. You've got to become a player-led team. Mm-hmm. It takes both, you know, okay, but the players have to start assuming some responsibility and accountability and holding each other up to those standards. We have some kids that are capable of doing it. We got to just get them to take that next step. And that's one of the main things we talked about, you know, on Sunday is, you know, what kind of teammate are you, you know, and used an example that the Hard Knocks coach used on the Jets about, you know, there's four types of competitors. You've got survivors who just do enough to get by. You've got contenders that, you know, they need some kind of outside motivation before they're going to try to compete. Then you got competitors who, you know, they do what they're supposed to do. But lastly, he called it commanders. You got guys that are great competitors, but also drag other people along with them. Mm-hmm. And we need more commanders in our senior class. We need more in whatever class. You know, we need more of that, and I think we've taken some steps forward in that area this week. But for us to get to the level we want to, we got to get a little bit more of that.
All right. Well, Camden fans, be sure to make that short trek up I-95 to Glenn County Stadium to support your Wildcats Friday night, assuming that we play. And this has been the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Herron. I'm Jason Bishop. Signing off, go Wildcats!